Welcome to Gardens for Everybody. Today, Elizabeth and I want to talk about different tasks that we could do around the garden in this fabulous September. The day temperatures are like 20 and the evening temperatures 9. Perfect. But it's a great time to catch up on spring work this fall.
Yes, I often leave things to the spring when I'm feeling motivated, but then there are too many tasks to do all at once. So a good idea to try and do some tasks early.
And horticulturalists tend to, because fall can be very, very long. So we often do a lot of the spring work in the fall because we have time.
Yes, I often don't. But I'm happy to think about doing some tasks ahead. So one good one we were discussing was starting a new garden bed. If you know you want a new garden bed in the spring, it's a great time to prepare the ground and get it ready so you can plant it in the spring.
Yeah, so first, go and make your design, put out the garden hose, figure out the shape, and then dig out the turf, just the top layer of turf. You put the shovel vertical to cut the outline and then flat underneath an inch or two down to pick up the turf, and then pile your turf up in a big pile so it can compost, and then start amending the soil.
You could just turn the turf over.
Well, I would put the turf down a foot. If you turn it over, it will re-sprout.
Okay, so you think better to let it compost and just start fresh?
Yeah, I would compost the turf in a pile in the bed.
Oh, okay. See, I misunderstood what you meant by that. I thought you were removing it from the bed.
Nope, just pile it up in the bed that you're going to have and then dig in some leaf mold or fresh leaves, though they don't decompose that quickly, or compost from your composter. And blood meal, bone meal.
Yeah, so mending it, putting in some more nutrients and adding some extra nourishment to that soil that's just had grass growing on it, so that then you can plant whatever it is you want to plant in the spring.
But most importantly is don't get too enthusiastic. Dig your soil up and add the amendments now. Lots of organic matter into the soil, because organic matter is good for sandy soil, it's good for clay soil. But leave it lumpy. Don't turn it so much that it becomes soft and fluffy. You need it to be lumpy so that it will allow water to enter and go down through it.
Right. So we're not overworking the soil. We're not trying to blend it all together and make it amazing. We're just putting it in.
Do you remember the days when people used to get their rototiller out?
Yes. So we're definitely not doing that, because that destroys a lot of the microbes in the soil, especially the fungal elements in the soil. And we want to maintain those because we've already got them in our turf grass.
It also destroyed the soil structure.
Yeah. So we're keeping the soil structure. We're just adding things to it and then letting it compost down, and earthworms will come and turn it over. It will naturally decompose.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned the earthworms. When I finish making the bed and before the winter actually comes, then I put down a layer of leaves that's 3, 4, 5, 6 inches deep on top of the future bed for the earthworms.
Yes, and I guess that leads into another good fall task, which is clearing leaves off the lawn in the winter.
Exactly.
For the winter, because that will kill our grass. But the leaves are still really useful, and we're going to keep them on our property and add them to new garden beds or old garden beds as a mulch layer.
It's absolutely a win-win situation. Off from the turf, onto the flower bed or the soon-to-be flower bed. Earthworms can eat them up.
Yeah, they're going to compost down a lot of nutrients to our soil in the long run. And the lifting the leaves into the bags, that's really hard work, I find.
Oh,
whereas just raking them off the grass is actually not so bad. Leaving them in the beds is really nice. It's a lot easier.
And this year at the garden, Food Cupboard Garden, we actually forgot one small garden to mulch with leaves.
Yeah, we did. We were so busy doing all the bigger areas, we forgot the small area, and it really suffered from that.
The tomatoes and the eggplants were nowhere near as healthy.
No, they didn't do well at all.
So
it just shows the value of adding that nutrition to your garden bed in the fall.
And moderating the soil temperature.
Yeah, it's a good insulating layer as well.
Mm-hmm. And the moisture didn't evaporate off the soil.
Yeah, so it's going to keep moisture in there, and the soil is going to be a lot healthier.
Yeah.
So that's two full tests, made a new bed. We've removed the leaves from our grass.
And it's super important to take the leaves off your grass, especially if it's maple leaves, because maple leaves, when they're wet in the fall, become flat. They flatten tightly over the grass. They suffocate the grass is one problem. Mm-hmm. And the second problem is, as the rain and snow melts and water goes through, it leaches out toxins from the old maple leaves onto the turf.
Oh, I didn't know there was a toxin element to that.
It's really important to get the leaves off the turf.
But they're okay put onto our garden beds.
Perfect. And one doesn't need to cut the turf short before winter. You're better off to leave the turf long, more than 3 inches long, because if we don't get sufficient snow cover, the crowns of the grass need to be protected by the longer leaf blades.
Yeah, and right now we don't know what kind of snow cover we're going to get each winter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's good. Now, another one that I wanted to talk about, because I have raspberries, is cutting back raspberry canes. And there are two types of raspberry canes that we have commonly in Ontario. And I have the full fruiting raspberry canes, but they're also the July fruiting raspberry canes. And so the way you handle them is different in terms of pruning them back. So you tell us, how would you manage the July or summer fruiting?
In the fall, I would go into the raspberry patch that has long since finished producing fruit and take out the third year canes, which will be dark brown and the bark will be peeling backwards. So it's quite noticeable. The first year canes are bright, bright green. Second year canes are golden brown. And third year canes are looking old. And you cut those to the ground and you do that in the fall so that next year it will fruit most abundantly on the second year canes.
Yeah, so that's kind of rotating through. You've got first, second year, and then third year's the old ones always being cut back. And that's on the July fruiting raspberry canes. Now, I have the full fruiting raspberry canes. I have tons of raspberries right now and there's still lots of fruit coming. So for me, I don't cut them back right now. But ultimately, either when they finish fruiting or early in the spring, I need to cut those back all the way to the ground. And then they'll grow new canes from that, or they'll have new growth from that, and I'll have more fruit the next season.
Oh, that's wonderful, because you can do that up till Christmas.
Yes, you can do it whenever you want to, really. Winter is a great time for pruning in general, actually, and that's a really good time to do pruning. Not much else to do in the garden, so you might as well prune. Another thing we were thinking about was cleaning up perennial borders. What do you do in that regard?
Oh, it depends on the perennials. So generally speaking, if the plant has powdery mildew, then I remove all of the plant top part and give it to the city recycle, because I don't want to leave the spores of the powdery mildew in the garden, though it doesn't really matter because powdery mildew is in the atmosphere.
But I get what you're saying. Why increase the amount that's already there? You might as well reduce the amount that's going to be around in your own garden.
That's the wishful thinking. And then I would check for any other diseased plants and I would take them out if I saw it. Most common one that we tend to see is aster yellows.
Yes, which is kind of a cool disease, actually. It's a viral disease that affects the plants, and it looks pretty cool, actually. You'll see it's like the flower has got multiple flower heads coming out of the same flower head.
It's weird.
It's a really cool look, but I guess you don't really want it spreading around all your other plants.
No, no. And it affects many plants that are not related to aster.
Yeah, so we had it in sunflowers, and again, it looks a little freaky, but cool freaky. But it is a viral disease.
And it's spread by insects that puncture and suck out sap, but it can be spread to cabbages and broccoli and eggplants, to other plants that we don't want to be weird.
Yeah, we don't want them affected because we want them to produce really great quality vegetables.
So I look for the diseases, and then in the perennial border, I would be making sure that the roots are all still well underground. Not they haven't lifted for one reason or another. And I would cut back some of the plants, depending on where they are, for aesthetic reasons. I might cut back the tops Some perennials have both evergreen leaves at the base and tall stems with flowers on them, which are not going to overwinter. So Echinaceae and Rudbeckia have both types. The basal leaves are evergreen and they will go through the winter perfectly, so you would never cut them down. But if it's at your front entranceway and you don't want to have the birds coming to eat the seeds, you might cut the flower stalk of the Echinaceae or the Rudbeckia off.
Yeah, so this is where there's always a choice in gardening, and it's a personal choice. Do you leave the stalks that are dead standing? And I do. I find I like the winter interest of having things poking up above the ground. And I like when some animals might come and feed on the seeds. And I'm happy to then have that look a little messy and then maybe have to do some cleanup later in the spring after insects have emerged from the stems if they've been living in them. But not everyone likes that. And so, you know, it's a good time to clean up those sort of dead branches. You could clean them up and put them in the back of your garden. So keeping them on your garden beds, because they will eventually compost down. It's organic matter. So, you know, we're still adding organic matter to our soil. So it's only really the diseased plants that we're planning to send to the yard waste, the city composting facility. But healthy plants, we might still want to cut down, but then we could keep those on our own property in our compost pile, or like I do, you could make a little wood pile or a stick pile, and that's a good habitat for many small animals.
I like to cut down the stems from the tidy areas of the garden and leave them in the untidy areas of the garden so that the insects that put their eggs in there have a habitat to survive.
You can have a messy area and you can have tidy areas. And often, you know, the fronts of our houses or the bits that people are going to see are the areas we want to keep a little smarter. And then we might have a place that only we know about where we're pretty messy.
Yes.
Yeah. None of this full cleanup is essential, although the raspberry canes probably is, because you're going to get better fruiting if you cut back the raspberry canes at the right time.
That absolutely is important.
Yeah.
There is another one that's very important, and that is that I always cleaned up hosta leaves. So I took all the hosta leaves off as they were dying. So all fall, I would take off the bottom leaves. So I'd pull them off, because the slugs lay their egg cases around the hostas and they need to be exposed to the cold temperatures to die. And adult or juvenile slugs will hide in between the leaf and the crown so that it's got a little hidey hole down at the base near the ground. And those slugs will overwinter very well and safely if you leave all the leaves on.
Slugs love to eat hostas. And if you have a lot of hostas, you'll be familiar with having that as a problem. So that's a good tip. So removing the bottom leaves of the hostas.
Especially. All the leaves eventually. Yeah. I just start from the bottom. All of them go. That's the only plant that I can think of where the insect actually overwinters all the time with its host plant.
Mm-hmm.
Slugs are not an insect, by the way. Slugs are a mollusk.
Be right.
The seashell is inside their body.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's creepy. I had no idea.
It's a mollusk.
Wow, I did not know that.
It was a little flat shell.
Really?
Hmm.
I did not know that. Thank you. That's so interesting. Any other tips for full cleanup that you thought you should share?
There are certain shrubberies that I treat as if they're raspberries. So Rosa rugosa and some of the spirea, the shrub spireas like the Anthony Waterer, those you can divide in the fall and transplant because they act like perennials. But every fall, I will go in and take out the oldest branches from the ground and remove them, because like summer fruiting raspberries, the oldest branches are dead and they just clutter up the inside of the plant, making the plant less pretty. So I take those out every single fall.
Okay. Well, that was very informative. And thank you for listening to Gardens for Everybody. And please follow or subscribe.
Thank you. Bye.